For a few weeks, I thought about our gathering, knowing it would be on New Year's Eve, and what we would do, and what I might offer you on the eve of another new year. And as we kind of look at our own lives, as we head into a new year and yet another year of ministry together, and I thought about how we talk often about our mission. When we talk about that we're here to lead people to trust God, we say that because most people don't. And sometimes I wonder, well, how well are we doing that? How well do we do it fulfilling our mission of leading people to trust God? And sometimes I even wonder as a pastor, you talk about time going by quickly. I think about the 3.5 years since I showed up. Is there anything that for any of you that would say that in your life has caused you to trust God more in your own personal life? And what I realize in my own life, and this morning, probably the guys in the back are going, wow, you don't have 1,500 slides going this morning. But I realized that one of the best things that ever happened in my own life about learning how to trust God was the opportunity to watch other people do it. And some of you this morning may already have those people in your mind. Just visually, there is someone that comes to mind. When you think about somebody in your own life that you have visibly watched them trust God in their own life, and how they modeled their belief that God knew best. Somehow, they were willing to stake everything in their life on the idea that God knew best. And they were willing to just absolutely put the weight of their life on that. Now, you might not have had the experience that I did in life, but I was blessed, didn't realize it as a child, but greatly do today, to watch parents and grandparents that live their lives reliant upon God, meaning they acknowledged Him in all of their ways. And here's why that's so important in my faith journey. Because it's one thing to talk about you trust God, but it's another thing to actually do it. The foundational words from which we take our mission statement come from the writings of Solomon in his Book of Wise Sayings in chapter 3, where he's someone that one day God asked him, I'll give you whatever you want. He is about to ascend to the throne of his father David. And you think about if God would ask you, what would you like to have? I'll give you anything. And you and I are thinking probably a lot of more things than what he was thinking, but the one thing that he asked for was wisdom. And I'm grateful today when I think about that, because I read the words of Jesus' brother in the back of the New Testament when he says, if anybody lacks wisdom, that you can ask God for it, and he'll give it. And that's what Solomon asked for. And one of the things that we find is he takes and puts together a book of wise sayings that you find in toward the middle of the Old Testament in the Bible. And if you've never done it, I would encourage you to take one of those chapters a day. There's 31 of them. And so for some months in 2018, you might need to, double up on one. But just encourage you to read those. They're rapid fire things that you can build into your life that help you navigate relationships and how to manage your money and just a lot of different things that are very helpful and insightful, just how to make life work better. And I think that's one of the greatest things you take away from Solomon's writings, is just how the wisdom of God just makes life work best. And one of the things that he said, the best thing you could ever learn to do in life, in Proverbs 3, is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And not to lean on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him. Solomon said He would direct your paths or make it straight. And in the places where they would be able to look around the terrain, there was a lot of paths that weren't straight. And one of the things that sometimes we just need is that direction to help us to keep from veering off and taking detours and going down paths that just don't work really well in life. But what I've discovered when I would learn this Bible verse, even as a child growing up in Sunday school and church, the learning to trust God is about a lifelong journey of staking your life on the idea that God ultimately knows best and that He'll get it right. Because one of the things a lot of people do is they worry about so many things. That when you talk about trusting God, there's a lot of people just worry God's not going to get it right. Some of you, you get that. That He's not going to get it right. But to trust in Him is to live with this idea that He ultimately knows best. He sees things from a totally different perspective than we do because He's somebody that's infinite. He has no beginning, no end, who can see things from past and way beyond what we can see from our little finite world perspective and view. Because all we can see is right here. But it's about this lifelong journey of staking your life on the idea that God ultimately knows best, that He'll get it right, and that making a conscious, willful, purposeful decision to live by the principles that we can find in this book of a compilation of a lot of different writings by a lot of different people that were inspired by God, that we can take and apply those to our everyday, ordinary life. And as we consciously, purposefully, willfully choose to do that, that what we come to find out is that life works better. That it brings us more peace, it reduces needless frustrations and heartache. Because there's a lot of people that go, I wish I hadn't gone down that path. I wish I had maybe made a different decision. And to have the resource to know what a better and different decision would be often is found in some place we neglect to look. But one of life's greatest challenges is that struggle to rely less on our own understanding and trust God more. But one of the things that we have to struggle through is you won't and you don't trust somebody that you don't know. And so you have to get to know Him. And the way that we get to know God is by finding out more about Him as we spend more time in the pages of the Bible, where we find that people just like you and I, when we read the stories in the Bible, we go, wow, we get to see the end and go, oh, that was a great story and how God came through. But they were people just like you and I. They didn't know how the end of the story was going to go. When the children of Israel find themselves up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's armies bearing down on them, and they're looking at Moses going, this was not a good idea. What were you thinking? And yet, He turns around, He looks at him and goes, if you just be still, you're going to see the power of God on display. One of the things I strive for week after week is to try to find a way to help you become better acquainted with the Creator God. In hopes that when you walk out these doors from week to week, that you might decide to trust Him with something in one area of your life. So that when you find out that you can trust Him with one area of your life, you might be willing to even eventually trust Him with more things in your life. And you'll find that as you trust Him more with all of your heart and acknowledge Him more, you'll find out how life really begins. This idea of how God makes these paths straight and He smooths things out. And when we talk about our mission statement, we also put these little things with it about the idea that when you learn to trust God, you'll love Him. And that when you learn to trust God, you'll honor and obey Him. And when you learn to trust God, you'll serve Him and serve others. And when you learn to trust God, you'll want others. It's kind of full circle. You'll want others to learn to trust Him too. And one of the things I would hope is that for all of us, we would see this as more than just something that, well, that's just something for church. That's just something that we talk about when we go in the doors there at 2151 South Jefferson. But it's something that you take home to your address. And you decide, no, this is something that should be a part of my everyday, ordinary life. The challenge would be that you would embrace these words as your own mission for your own life as well. Because what I know this morning is that all of us know people that haven't learned to trust God, let alone with all their heart. They don't know that they could. They know that there is a God, and some even people believe that there's a creator and that there is a God, and sometimes they look to Him when the wheels begin to wobble and things get wonky in life. But they haven't found out that not only that He is there in emergencies, but He can be there for every moment of your life. And to figure out that when you lean less on your own understanding, you can find the benefit of learning to trust God more. And so something I want you to take away from here is today, and to kind of to think about, kind of let that kind of bang around in your head a little bit, and maybe a little work a little further down into your heart and your soul is, what is it that I could do? What could be my role in helping lead someone else to learn to trust God? There's a guy at work the other day, comes walking across the office into my office, and he goes, I just got a phone call on my sister. She's got to go have a scan and a scope and everything in the morning. They have found some great big mass. And they want to go look, and you know, you can just tell he's just got this, you know, look in his eyes, and the dear Jesus, you know, and he just lost and scrambled. I said, well, can I pray for her? Yeah. You know, and it's just interesting, you know, people are just like shocked, like, well, okay. He doesn't come into work the next day until late in the afternoon. And he comes and goes, you won't believe it. I'm like, believe what? He said, they didn't see anything. They think they gave her the wrong test results. And I said, well, maybe they did. Or maybe this God that you ask us to pray to, maybe did something amazing for your sister. How is it that people know that the love of God has really changed your heart? Have you really just kind of sat back and went, wow, I just can't fathom the love of God? And all of a sudden you just realize about those words that Jesus' disciple John wrote in the back of the New Testament, where he talks about, this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And then that He says that He sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And you're looking and going, that's right, I didn't love Him first. He loved me first. And you're going, wow. And then all of a sudden, people begin to look at your life and go, man, something's changed in you. What happened? And how was it that you decided one day, when you think about all these things about when you learn to love God, when you learn to trust Him, you'll love Him, and you begin to realize, yeah, He really does love me. And even sometimes when it doesn't go like I thought it was going to go, or things didn't even turn out maybe the way I thought they were going to, but I know He loves me, and so I'm going to trust Him. Because I believe He's going to get it right. And then you look at that and you decide, how was it you decided one day that I'm going to honor God by living obedient to Him? And maybe it was because you looked at things and went, things aren't working so well the way I've been doing things. So maybe I ought to begin to think about, maybe He is right. And maybe life could work better if I decided to honor Him and obey Him. And then how you found a place to serve God. And most of the time, we find that we serve God by serving others. And then all of a sudden, there's this something happens inside that there is this passion that it, as you have discovered the love of God and that you decided life really does work best when I honor Him and obey Him and kind of flesh out these principles in my everyday ordinary life and that I serve, that I find out I really want other people to serve Him too. I find out that really works really well. And what I know is some of you have stories that need to be told. Some of you have stories that need to be told. Because what I know is this, and this may surprise some of you, that there are people that walk through these doors week after week that are convinced that nobody else faces the struggles that they're facing right now. There are people that walk through here and go, there's nobody else going through what I've been going through. There are people that sit here week after week struggling through their own faith journey. And they listen to me talk about trusting God and they wonder if anybody else's journey to trust God has been as tough as theirs has. And they go, surely nobody else is struggling as much as I am. And one of the things that I've learned about learning to trust God and leaning on Him sometimes is one of the places I grow the most is when I begin to serve. When I begin to serve Him and I begin to serve others, and something that you'll hear oftentimes, maybe it's at work or maybe you'll hear it in civic organizations, or if you hang around church long enough, you'll hear somebody say something like this. Somebody ought to do. Anybody ever heard that one before? Somebody ought to do, and you fill in the blank, whatever it is. In ministry, even in the local church, we look around sometimes and we think, why doesn't somebody do? And then you fill in the blank, whatever that is. And here's what I'm going to tell you this morning. Sometimes you might just be that somebody. And sometimes there's just that gentle nudge of God, that quiet whisper down inside. Or maybe it's just that you look around and go, I just can't stand it. That ain't going on. Somebody ought to do something. And you're just almost agitated by it. I think Bill Hybels refers to that, pastor of Willow Creek Community Church. He calls it a holy discontent. It's kind of like, I think he referred to it as that Popeye moment. Some of us who grew up watching Popeye, when Popeye would say, that's all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. That you look around and why doesn't somebody do something? Somebody ought to. Sometimes it's just that gentle nudge of God and that holy discontent. Then somebody doesn't need to vote on it. You don't need board approval. You just need to do it. And some of the greatest things that happen, I watch even in this church, the things that aren't voted on, and people have board approval, just go do it. And the difference it makes in ministry and the difference it makes in other people's lives. Some of the greatest ministries are birthed out of a nudge and a whisper from God to trust Him, to do something that you don't think you could possibly do. That's something that needs to be done that nobody's doing. Just ask a shepherd boy named David who looked around and said, somebody's got to do something about this miserable giant who just keeps defying the armies of the Creator God. And he did. He couldn't stand it. Ask Nehemiah, who looked around and saw the walls of Jerusalem in disrepair, and he was so distraught over it, did something. And they got it done. You read the story of Nehemiah because the people had a mind to work. But somebody had to step up and lead the way. And sometimes God nudges us. He causes us to be wrecked, and you just can't give it up. Something's got to be done. And sometimes you'll hear that whisper of God, you just got to trust me. I think one of the greatest stories that I've personally seen is Craig's brother, Brian, who started this ministry, which he couldn't even imagine what it would have been like, a ministry in Honduras. And he looks at himself going, I had a ministry. He was just a guy that just went to Honduras. And then began to see the ministry of what God is doing. There's a lot of people, some of you have been, some of you have gone, some of you have sent money, some we have sent books, and some of you still need to go. And yet, he looks around and goes, I was just somebody that just said to God, okay, I'll go. And now there's thousands of dollars moving in to make a difference in people's lives. There are churches that had no idea that they were going to partner with this guy in Kearney who would set up a ministry to make a difference and reach people for Jesus Christ. But all he said was, okay, yes. And God is constantly looking for those that are wrecked by the things that break his heart. And I'm grateful for people that even as I've grown up in church as a child, as I've grown up as an adult, to watch people that might have not been the most talented, the most gifted, but were people that were committed. They were committed to children's ministry, they were committed to the nursery, they were committed to youth ministry. I think back to a lady that did children's ministry when I was a little kid growing up in church. That lady had a speech impediment. She couldn't have carried a tune if they'd have put a handle on it. But every Sunday night at 6 o'clock, there was a bunch of us that showed up just because, I don't know what it was she did, but we wouldn't want to miss it. And the impact of her ministry today is felt worldwide. Because I think about the little kids that I went to church with on Sunday night. Some of them became worship leaders. Some of them became pastors. And I know of one particular guy that has felt a ministry to care about the people in Haiti. And his ministry has grown like he couldn't even possibly imagine. And churches that have partnered with him, when all of a sudden he was just one of those guys that says, okay, I'll go. And all I know is this, is that churches come alive and they move further away from death and dying when people move away from self-centeredness and become selfless and unselfish. And I'm so grateful for the different things that are happening here and things that are happening in our church. I'm grateful that we're offering up the teaching of biblical principles about how to manage your finances and how to deal with your money through Financial Peace University, where people learn to trust God in relationship with their money. Money is one of those areas that God might be nudging you in this year about how to trust Him. Some of you have never learned the joy of generosity, of joyful giving. Jesus said it. We don't know when he said it or where he said it, but he told us that God loves a cheerful giver. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us about it. We don't know what he would say. But we're reminded that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. But here's the good news is that each of us should give what we've decided in our heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. One of the things you'll notice around here is if you attend very often, is that's one of the things we don't talk about a lot, is money. The treasurer wishes I would more. We don't even pass the offering plate. Some people think that the only thing churches want is your money. But here's what I know and here's what I'm convinced of. God owns it all. And his work is always financed and funded by the people that believe the principles of God's word and how they work and how important it is to honor God with our wealth. And since he's the one who blesses us with everything that we have, we should just in turn honor and bless him. And here's something what some of you may struggle with, is that some of you acknowledge God, but you do it sparingly. And I don't say that to make anybody feel bad or to guilt anybody or manipulate anybody, but some of you just acknowledge him, and that's just about it. Some of us grew up where there were conversations in church about tithing, and boy, they would just pound you to death with it and all of that. And where we were encouraged to give the first 10% of our earnings to the Lord. And I've always been afraid to teach that. And here's why. Because God might nudge somebody to give more than 10%. I think 10% is just a starting place. And where you begin to learn, you say, I couldn't give up 10% of my earnings. Well, one of the things that I have found about God is that when you give, he gives back. Blesses down, measured, presses down, measured together, running over. You read that in the New Testament. You just cannot give God. And you'll find ways that you never imagined how God will bless your life. But joy, giving just has to be done joyfully, not because somebody made you feel bad or manipulated you or you were guilted into it. And some of you are incredibly generous. Some of you give generously, not just of your money, but of your time and your energy and your resources. And I hope you have found the joy that comes from giving. Giving financially, giving of your time, giving of yourself to other people. And one of the things, if you haven't learned this, I encourage you in this new year to learn to trust God with your money too. Begin to ask yourself, what would you be willing to risk personally? In your own relationship with Jesus Christ to see one more person walk through these doors. What would you be willing to risk to see somebody else walk through these doors that needs to learn that they can trust God with everything in their life? What's one more thing that you could do that you just can't stand anymore that somebody else needs to do that could impact one more man? One more woman, one more boy, one more girl that can make an eternal difference in their life if you would just respond to the whisper of God when he says, trust me. When he says, you're that somebody that I need to do something. They're little children. They're going to walk through these doors. They need to see with their own eyes what I saw. Parents and grandparents, aunts, uncles, men and women at church that they adore and they admire, that are people that trust God and are willing to stake their lives on the fact that God knows best. And they trust him that he always knows best. And He will always lead you down the wisest paths. There are people that you work with every day that observe your life. And is there any chance that they would consider risk, the risk of trusting God with their lives based on watching your life choices as they observe your life? Some of you know that you can trust God with everything in your life. And yet, what I know for some of you this morning is that the path you've been on lately has been so challenging and such a struggle. You need to be encouraged this morning to know that you're not the only person sitting in this room that faces struggles just like you do. And some of you need to share your stories. And some of you may need to say, Pastor, I got a story I need to share with our church family about how I've learned to trust God and how I'm learning to trust God and an area that I've learned to trust God in my life. And others of you, there may be somebody this morning that just needs to make public, go public with that moment that you've decided to trust God with everything in your life, even that you've decided to make Him your Savior and Lord because you never have. And what does that mean? Is there a place and a time in your life that you could say, this was the moment I decided to trust God? This was kind of the beginning point of my journey. For me, it was a child. It was knelt down beside a little metal folding chair when I said, I don't understand all of this at the moment. The one thing I do know is I need a Savior. And I want to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus who took the hit for me. And I hope that all of you have a moment in your life that there was a defining moment in your life. This is it when I began the journey of faith. That you acknowledged and that you were convinced that all of a sudden now I want my life to become reliant upon God. That everything about my life is I'm going to rest. If I'm going to make a decision to trust Him with my eternal destiny, I'm going to trust Him with everything else about my life. Maybe you need to make that public, that decision, that life-defining moment decision in your life public. Some of you have never been baptized, where you've made that public declaration of your faith where you say, I have made this decision to trust God with everything about my life, not only about my eternal destiny and the forgiveness of my sin, but about everything about my life. I see the journey of faith in steps. Some of you are exploring faith and you're making your way, trying to figure this out, what it looks like. And then some of you have made that decision, I'm going to step across the line of belief. I'm going to give my life and my heart to Jesus Christ. And then some of you need to make that public declaration. Some of you are growing in your faith. Some of you have found this to be your faith community you want to belong to. But there are things that God wants every one of us to learn in this new year about trusting Him. I'm going to challenge you to put yourself in that place where you say, God, I just want to hear from You. I want to learn to trust You more. As Solomon would say, to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Lean not on my own understanding. In all of my ways, in every aspect of my life, whether it's learning how to be a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, a better employee, how to manage my money well, how to relate better with people, all of those things, I want to get to know how to do that better. So I'm going to get to know you better and see what you have to say about how life works best. But I want to learn to trust You so that I can be a part of helping lead somebody else to learn to trust You so that they'll be like me, that they'll love You, they'll honor You, they'll obey You, they'll serve You and serve others, and then they'll come full circle just like I have. When I've learned to trust God, because I have, I want other people to learn to trust Him too. And I hope that'll be what I can challenge you to do, you'll decide to do in this new year. And we'll all do together. And we'll see more people walk through these doors that are hungry and desire to learn what we've learned, how to learn to trust God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are somebody that we can trust with all of our heart. That we're not left to our own devices and our own resources, because sometimes while we understand there's a way that might seem right to us, sometimes it doesn't always work out so well. And so I pray that we would take that risk one more day, one more opportunity as we begin to move into this new year, to learn to trust you more with all of our heart. Lean not so much on our own understanding, but really, really, really acknowledge you in all of our ways, so you'll straighten out our paths, so that we can be those that can help lead others to learn to trust you too. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm always around at the end of the